Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from the Gospel, John chapter 17. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. 2 weeks ago, we heard earlier words of Jesus, also spoken in the upper room. He said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." This glory that both Christ and the Father are to receive, it does not come from any good works or acts of love or charity on our part. It's not because of what we do. God is not made more glorious because of, how great and grand we are. These words were spoken immediately after Judas had left the upper room to betray Jesus. Jesus is looking ahead to his death on the cross when he speaks of his future glory. The glorification of Christ is connected with an event that appears to all the people who witnessed it to be the very opposite of glory. Of those who were in the upper room, only John would witness the glory of Christ on the cross, but even he would not see it for the glorious event that it was. John watches in silence, and his only action is to acknowledge Jesus' request to care for his mother Mary after he is gone. Judas has already left. As Scripture says, Judas greets the reality of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion with remorse and guilt, sorrow for what he did. He throws the money back into the temple. He went out and hanged himself in hopeless despair. And his death was such a gruesome affair, with his bowels gushing out when they probably cut him down and he fell to the ground, that all the people of Jerusalem, they knew of this, and they called that place the Field of Blood. Which is really further evidence of the reality of these events. This is no made-up story. Everybody knew about these things that happened. Peter follows Jesus to his trial before the chief priests and the elders. But he would end up wishing that he had stayed back and cowered in fear and silence with the other disciples. For all of his boldness, Peter ends up denying Jesus and even calling down curses upon himself and swearing, "I do not know the man." Jesus knows that all of these things are going to happen. In John chapter 6, we hear that Jesus already knew who it was who would betray him. In the upper room, Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him 3 times before the rooster crows. And he says to him, "Satan desires to sift you like wheat." But Jesus says that he would pray for him. He would pray for all of them. Our gospel reading is a portion of what is known as the high priestly prayer, as the ultimate high priest who makes the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the people. Jesus prays for the protection of his disciples. He prays that not only them, but we would have a perfect oneness with each other and, more specifically, with God. Would have a perfect oneness in the way that Jesus and the Father are one. That was Jesus' prayer for his disciples. We hear Jesus pray, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me. Now, 2 weeks ago, we heard Jesus say to his disciples in the upper room, "Where I am going, you cannot come." They cannot endure the cross. They cannot descend with him into hell to proclaim victory over death and Satan. So why did Jesus pray this way? Why did he say, "I desire that they may be with me where I am, to see my glory"? He says this because even though it's not going to happen, even though it's not possible, it is his desire. Jesus prays that we have a perfect oneness and unity that mirrors that of God the Father and God the Son. That is his desire. That is God's desire for each of us. This is to be our desire also. But we look and we can see that this will only be achieved in the resurrection. Last week I mentioned how the law shows us what we ought to do. It does not show us what we can do. God desires for us to keep the law perfectly. In fact, he demands that we keep the law perfectly. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The reality is that we fail again and again and again. So the law acts as our teacher and shows us just how wide this gap is between what God demands and what we actually can do. Because we must accomplish perfection to be saved through the doing of the law. If we desire to be saved on our own, apart from Christ's death and resurrection, there is but one standard. The law shows us how wide that gap is between what we can actually accomplish and what our Lord says we must do. It is unattainable in this life. It is only achieved in the resurrection. Yet it is still God's desire that we strive to keep his law. Last week, I also mentioned, if somebody's sick and their health does not improve, it's not because you didn't pray enough. It's not because you didn't pray hard enough. In this sinful world, you will never have the health, strength, peace, comfort, and joy that God desires for you. Yet God desires it for you, and he encourages you to pray. But we are forever reminded that we are Easter people who long for the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." It is only when he comes that you will see all that God desires for you. There is this ongoing, interesting dynamic that we have with our Father in heaven. Here on earth, we can do nothing that fully satisfies his desire. As St. Paul says, "All of my works are like filthy rags. Yet because of Christ, I am righteous and blameless in his sight." In Christ, your Father in heaven is fully satisfied with who you are. Because when he looks at you, in the grace of your baptism, he sees Christ. We fail again and again and again. And we come before our Father as poor, miserable sinners, begging mercy and grace again and again and again. In our weakness, we come to him in prayer. Jesus says, your Father in heaven knows what you need even before you ask. Yet we are encouraged, even commanded, to continue to ask. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. But this is not our attempt to change God's will or his desire for us. We come before him praying the words that he has given us and praying with confidence, thy will be done. And we do this with the desire that our will, our thoughts, would become one with the will and the desire and the thoughts of God. Yet we are encouraged to pray in all circumstances, even if what we pray for seems impossible. Jesus prays that his disciples could be with him where he is going and see the glory of the cross and his victory over Satan. That is his desire and his prayer, even though he has already said, where I am going, you cannot come. As St. Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord? His greatest glory is sending his Son to the cross. His greatest desire is to have a perfect oneness with you. Now, I think all of you are fine, upstanding people, but look from where we came. And you consider Almighty God and his relationship to us. You know, we are sinners. We are born hating the things of God, hostile to his word. As St. Paul says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. We are totally corrupt children of Adam. Now, since we're celebrating Mother's Day today, I thought it appropriate to clarify that our old Adam, hostile to God's sinful nature with which we are born, it does not come from your mother. Really. Adam and all subsequent fathers are the ones held accountable for passing along that sinful nature. Which is why Jesus could be born of a sinful woman like Mary and still be without sin. So we are sinners, hating the things of God, hostile to his word, totally corrupt children of Adam. Yet he loved us anyway. And his greatest desire was to bring us back into this relationship of perfect oneness. And this will happen, but it will only happen in the resurrection, which is why, as Easter people, we again proclaim with joy, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.